a five-year freeze on discretionary spending, government or reorganization. Those things would have had a great impact on the government's partners in industry. President Obama made a push for a spending freeze and consolidation in government in his State of the Union address earlier this week. Seems a lot farther than that. Stan Soloway, president of the Professional Services Council, he joins us now to talk about insights from thanks for being with us, Stan.
Always a pleasure, Chris.
So did you survive the snow blizzard last night?
Yeah, I hesitate to say it. Other than you, I might have had one of the easier commutes.
Yeah, I know. So. We keep that sort of. I feel bad saying that. And you, I'd heard from my producer that you were making fun of me about that I don't like winter.
Well, no, I'm assuming even though it was like 3 minutes to your house, you probably complained anyway.
Right. I'm not a fan of winter, and and the people who don't like winter, I think we won over a couple converts last night.
Well, I tell you, the only thing I can say is that instead of taking the highways home, because I live in the city, I went straight across town on Constitution Avenue. It was almost no traffic.
Yeah, no, once you got
highways were a mess.
Right, exactly. Let's talk about the State of the Union, even though it seems it was a long time ago. You've called for a collaborative process with agencies, contractors, grantees, to deal with cutting. And I know you have some, because we've talked about it, you have some concerns about just this sort of arbitrary freeze or hacking away at agency budgets.
Yeah, well, to apropos of your previous story, so much for normal government operation.
Right, exactly.
I think that there's a lot we can learn from the way others are doing this. There's no question there's going to be austerity. We all know that everybody's going to feel it. It doesn't matter if your federal employees are feeling it, contractors will feel it, grantees will feel it, states, local governments. It's upon us, and there's not much any of us can do about it. And clearly it's the responsibility of the leadership in the administration and Congress to decide at a program level, you know, what the priorities are and what's actually going to get funded. But beyond that, there's a tremendous need and opportunity to drive real savings and real efficiencies. And the only and best way to do that is really to have, as you said, a collaborative process where all of the stakeholders are involved, really kind of rolling up their sleeves and figuring out what do we have in the system that we don't need to have, whether it's unnecessary requirements, bureaucratic processes, or what have you, reporting. It could be any number of things. It could be the contractor has too many people on the job or more than's needed. It could be the requirements that are being levied on the contract that really are kind of extraneous and not value added. And we've seen this actually playing out a bit in the United Kingdom, which is already got a major austerity initiative underway. I think a number of their ministries are facing 20 and 25% budget cuts. The Ministry of Defense there, I think, is about an 8 or 10% budget cut. And there they've said, okay, we're not going to do this program, we're not going to do that program. That's leadership's prerogative. But that only gets you a small part of the way. And even if you look at the numbers with a five-year freeze on discretionary spending, it doesn't solve the deficit problem. But there's a tremendous added layers of savings to be had, sustainable savings, if you really got all the players together in a room to figure out what we could do better and do smarter. And that's kind of what they're doing in the UK, and I think that's a model we might want to think about here.
Is there anything that came out of Tuesday, the discussions, even people sitting next to each other, which I think sort of had a little bit of sense that at least people are trying and are at least hearing that people want them to work together? Was there anything that came out of Tuesday and since then that leads you to believe that we might end up in that process where we almost say, okay, what's really important to do, and then fund those in an adequate way?
Well, it's a great question, and it's, you know, I wish I was more optimistic and thought it was more than imagery. I mean, I think there are folks on the Hill who clearly want to see things worked in a different way, both in a bipartisan sense, but also just intellectually sitting down trying to figure things out. I'm not convinced that the process or the system right now would support that, but never let it be said that an outbreak of statesmanship is not possible. I don't think from that perspective, but I do think that everybody and on all, both parties and within the caucuses of both parties, because there's divisions within the Republican Party and divisions within the Democratic Party about this. It's not just Republican versus Democrat. I think everybody realizes they've got to do something because not only is the public completely fed up, but that the numbers are really, really frightening. And it's not just that, and I think the distinction here is it's not just that, you know, we look at discretionary spending, if we freeze discretionary spending for 5 years or roll back to fiscal year 08, which is one of the Republican proposals and so forth, that's not going to solve the deficit problem. And the primary deficit problem right now is really debt. and interest payments on the debt, which unchecked could be as much as 60 or 90% of our deficit in the next 8 or 9 years. And so everybody recognizes that there's this big structural problem. We've got to get our arms around it. And, you know, I wrote a piece not too long ago where I said it's time to get out of the we versus they mentality and into an us mentality, not politically. I mean, I'm not pretending that we could magically wave a wand over the Capitol or over the White House or whatever. But I think within the agencies there's opportunity. There's a lot of people I talk to in federal agencies, a lot of contractors who agree wholeheartedly. If they could sit down in a room and really work at it, they could come up with savings. They could come up with efficiencies that are sustainable, not just cuts, which is not really efficiency. That's cutting.
Yeah.
Efficiency is about how you do the work and saving money in the way you do the work. And there are some real opportunities for that.
And I know there's a lot of talk about better, faster, cheaper, and we tend to spend more time talking about the cheaper rather than the better and faster.
Well, and the cheaper can get you, can mislead you. There may be many, many cases, and this is one of the reasons, and I think you and I have talked about this before, where things like the a federal employee hiring freeze or a pay freeze on federal employees doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because there may be places you have to pay more, or you want to hire more, because it, or you may want to invest more in a capability or what have you, because it drives savings elsewhere. And so just having these sort of flat line, kind of peanut butter spreads across the system really inhibits really smart management.
And there is, I think, a real drive. People want to they want to accomplish their missions more effectively, better, and less expensively. They don't want to, programs to go to waste. But there's been this long time problems with budgets, where budgets get submitted, they get chopped at OMB, they get chopped on Capitol Hill, then they don't get the people that they need, they don't get the resources they need, and then we turn around and are shocked that they don't work well.
You know, if you just look at some of the things Vivek Kundra is doing and these great ideas of really linking and aligning budget to policy, the big question remains, and it's not really within his control, so I'm not criticizing Vivek, do you have the resources and the capabilities to go do this, you know, in terms of people and so forth? So, yeah, I agree. I think that's part of the problem. The other problem is that the problem, financial or fiscal problem we face, is a very structural one. It's going to take a long time to sort of figure out a lot of this out if we do it right. But the aperture is very narrow, because elections happen every 2 years, which means you have about 12 months before the season is fully upon you.
Right, before
and
we start all
really
over again.
Some of that, and then the obvious thing, which everybody knows and no one wants to really get too far into, is you really want to go after the deficit. You have to be willing to get into entitlements reform. And I don't know anybody who's really willing to take that on in a serious way in an election year.
Talk a little bit about this idea of a government restructuring, reorganizing things so you don't have crossover. Is that something that freaks contractors out, or is that something that they go, hey, efficiency, great, I'll be able to survive fine in that?
No, I mean, you know, I think industry, like a lot of other folks, our attitude is primarily the smarter you can get in your organization, good for you. I mean, we're not here to tell you how to organize. What we want to do is support the mission where there are need for support. You know, we've seen attempts to reorganize in the past, and some of them have made a lot of sense. The Secretary of Defense is talking about doing some very modest reorganization within the intelligence community, the DOD intelligence community, and there are certainly areas where you can do some consolidation. I think even the White House has indicated that they're talking about relatively modest reorganization, not big, huge reorgs. But clearly there's some of that needed, and so we don't focus a lot on that. It's more about, okay, what does the customer really need, and how can we help?
And,
as odd as that may sound, yeah, it's actually the way people think about it.
And so your big takeaway from this week's speeches would be what?
I have to admit, I didn't have a huge takeaway. I mean, a five-year discretionary freeze sounded very dramatic, but in essence, there was already a three-year freeze in place. The president had been talking about a freeze for non-security spending for a while. I think the takeaway is, for me and a lot of our folks, is we have got a huge challenge on our hand, and it's not yet clear where the answers lie and who's going to be able to drive us to those answers. Forget whether you're a contractor or a government employee or just a general citizen. As a nation, there's just these huge challenges, and the road forward is not yet clear.